I think they like you, Steve.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling. Goodbye, baby. Yes, I'm going.
Well, hi there. How are you? Good, good, good. Me too. 6:13, and what busy show today. We have mixed reports from the weekend, really on all fronts, but here's a bulletin. Let's go live to Dave outside of Soldier Field. It's really cold. It's like 15 degrees. The Bears are good.
That's a bulletin?
It is a bulletin. We had to beat the Rams to fully confirm it.
The Bears win over the Vikings a couple weeks ago is pretty good, too.
Well, maybe you. For me, had to be last night. And could Jared Goff look more uncomfortable in the cold?
No,
what a sweet little snowflake he was.
Yeah, that's the perfect word, Steve. They never let him get comfortable. And he just, I mean, he had guys in his face all night. Yeah.
What's he going to do when it actually is bad weather? I mean, it was cold, but there wasn't any wind. I mean, it was a very livable night on the lake, and he just wanted his mommy.
Well, I think what they've been thinking up until now was, well, they're going to play their playoff games in the L.A. Coliseum. Yeah. It's going to be 70 degrees and sunny.
I would hope so, because their quarterback can't take the cold.
I would also throw in, though, as much as I love our Chicago Bears, I'm a little bit concerned our quarterback can't take the cold. That might be a little bit.
Here's the excuse for him. Let me make it for him. That's his first night back after the show.
He looked like he didn't want to play there either.
So Bears win. What was the final?
Final was 15-6.
And it was not that close.
No, it really wasn't.
No.
It really wasn't. And I don't know if you were watching at the end.
I watched the whole thing.
Okay.
Well, I got home from the Blackhawks game. Now, I bring you good news from the United Center, but first, Dave, you were going to say.
I was going to say the Rams had fourth and 10, I think, their next to last possession.
Uh-huh.
And, okay, fourth down, this is your last chance to do something.
It's over.
And they sack him.
Yeah.
I mean, that was sort of summed
him.
It up for their whole night.
Because he took the ball, he dropped back, and he went, I'm just going to lay down.
And pretty much.
There's so much. I can't wait to talk to Hamp about it. It's just there's so much good stuff on the defensive side of the ball. Roquan. Christmas
afternoons.
Up,
afternoons right? On WGN.
Roquan.
By the way, I played Santa on Friday for Will. We'll get into that later. Here's the good news from the United Center. And I'm going to say it. And you know I don't like to say this. They played better. I mean, they really did. The second period and the third period, they actually looked like a National Hockey League team.
Mm-hmm.
They played with aggression, with speed, with determination. As I tweeted out late last night, forget about a wall. Put Carey Price, the Montreal Canadiens goalie on the southern border. Yeah. Nobody's getting in. There was a four-minute power play where the Hawks had, I think, six quality shots, maybe eight, and nothing got by that little Canadian creep. So the Hawks lose 3-2. The frustrating thing, of course, is they lose late, minute and a half to go.
I wanted Patrick Kane to have a hat trick.
So, yeah. And what's weird is he got two goals early, and then he was having trouble pulling the trigger, and then late in the game he started firing shots, and just nothing went in.
Yeah, that last power play, I thought he was going to get one in.
Nothing went in, Dave. Nothing.
I know.
Nothing!
But you know what? As bad a night as it was, or the outcome, still a better night than the Bulls had the night before.
Oh. And the Bulls lost this weekend by, I think, it's 156 points.
Yeah, well, it felt like that.
And they had a closed door meeting on Sunday, which was the players.
They were trying
out that they said you're practicing us. The practices are too hard.
Well, he wanted them to practice supposedly after losing by 56
I didn't hear the story.
On Sunday, the Bulls were supposed to have a practice. The players boycotted the practice. And the reason they said coming out was that the way the new coach practices is too hard on them.
Okay, if that's true, Paxson and Gar Foreman, You're either fired today.
It's crazy.
Or you go nuts on the team today.
Well, they didn't boycott the practice. There was talk they were going to boycott. Jim Boylan says...
That's all you need.
Well, but then apparently some of the veterans said, no, show up, be there. And then the coach, Jim Boylan, said they never were going to practice. He was going to have the young guys lift
weights. So Boylan's had the team for 4 days and he's already lost them?
I love to see that group text.
I know, guys, that's what it was, a group text. That's the funny part.
He benched it. I mean, he pulled his whole line. He made a line change on Saturday night where he took all five guys off the floor.
Yeah, they're all
five
they're
starters.
Their egos are hurt.
And the Bulls played better after no one was on the floor?
Yeah, they didn't play well all night.
Really. I saw our boss, Paul Rennie, on Friday night at a Blackhawks Foundation event, and he actually told me he thinks the NBA should start doing things where they actually do bench players all throughout the game and use everybody all the time. He thinks it's flawed that the Bulls just use the stars mostly and then people sit on the bench on you. So that's what Paul Rennie had to say.
I know it's been a long time, but this is too good, too legendary a franchise to put up with that nonsense.
I agree. Yeah.
That's got to stop. I told you, I love Paxson. I've loved him for years. It's over. Do the right thing. Step aside. Blow it up. Because Jerry's not going to do it. Reinsdorf won't do it.
They lost by
blow it up
at home.
56. They were down 17-0 in the first quarter. Got down. Was it 22-2 or something? Yeah. I mean, something crazy.
It was 17-0 to start the game.
Yeah.
On a more immediate note, we're all going to boycott the top six at six. By the way,
why is that?
I don't know. We just had a meeting.
Oh, you did. All right. Well, you're all
group text. It was a group text.
Actually, a group text or a WhatsApp.
I think you should do one of those blessings or something, Steve. Since you're an ordained minister at the United Center, to get a curse off of it.
Yeah, something's
holy
up
water. You're going to need holy.
You think
water.
It's cursed?
Yeah, I think something's going on there, so you're going to have to...
All it takes is one win, and they'll win the rest of the year, he said, delusionally. But they really were better last night. Mm-hmm. They were improved. Can't believe I'm saying that out loud. One last sports note. Great weekend for Chicago baseball.
Yep.
Two Hall of Fame elected inductees.
You're stealing the top six notes.
I didn't say it yet, did I?
Okay.
Yeah. That's a teaser.
That's a teaser.
That's great.
At 6:19, not my first day.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. With the top six at six, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
All right, Hampton on at 7. This is item number one, by the way. Hampton on at 7:10 to talk about your Chicago Bears, who beat the L.A. Rams last night. I'm having trouble calling them the L.A. Rams last night, and beat them good. Beat them, and beat them again. And Sean, what's his name? Hayes?
McVay.
Oh, McVay. Who's Sean Hayes? The guy from Will and Grace?
Yeah, he's the coach.
I was wondering.
Will and Grace, and he's the coach of the Rams.
Actually, Jared Goff played more like Sean Hayes. Payton? Is it Payton?
Yeah.
It's Payton.
Sure. Sean Dunstan. The Rams right
now. Sean McVay, the Rams coach, called two timeouts because I think he needed hand warmers. With like 11 minutes to go in the game,
they were
a hot mess. Bears won.
That was like Cutler Bears, you know, the Rams with two timeouts and a false start in there somewhere. It was like, oh, this reminds me of a Mark Trestman Cutler.
You gonna let him make fun of Jay Cutler?
I don't like where he's going with this, but I'm gonna take it off the air because
I mean Cutler the football player, not Cutler the actor.
Just reality star.
Yeah,
they may see them again. In the playoffs, that would be
awesome.
In L.A.
Yeah,
but I think you have to feel good about it if that happens.
And Dominick Sue didn't even eat anyone last night. No, normally, in any game, he'll eat a player or two.
Yeah,
and biting, kicking.
They controlled Aaron Donald. They controlled Todd Gurley.
They
did all the things they had
really
to do to win.
Last week, there was a picture of Jay posted on Instagram. If Jay had Instagram,
you
the
started
account.
This.
Yeah, his hair is really long. He's looking really thin. He looked good. It's hunting season right now.
And by the way, it's hunting season actually means hunting.
Yeah.
It used to mean something different. Next.
Go Bears!
Lee Smith and Harold Bannon. Lee Smith, one of the great guys in baseball. If you get Lee Smith to sit around and tell you a few stories, you're going to have a good afternoon, a good day, and a good night.
A young boy, 10 years old, a young Justin, between a chain link fence out where they park the cars outside of Wrigley, getting a Lee Smith autograph.
I'm sure he was cool, right?
Yeah, it's cool.
Lee Smith and Harold Baines elected to the Hall of Fame. You remember what Lee Smith told me about getting ready for getting ready to come in.
I think I do remember this.
I said, listen to Lee Smith. I said, what's the routine? You guys chatting it up in a bullpen, man. What's the routine? How do you get ready before you get the call to stand up? He goes, I'd usually, like, there's a place in Wrigley that was my place. I'd sneak down the hall. I'd take a nap. And he goes, and I'd pay one of the kids to come in and wake me up if I thought the call, thought the inning, phone sir. Was going to ring.
Mr. Smith, it's the eighth inning. All right, I'm getting up.
And the great Harold Baines. Lee Smith and Harold Baines from your Chicago White Sox, elected to the Hall of Fame. It's awesome. A good baseball weekend.
You know who came up short? Your buddy Lou Piniella by one vote.
He'll get it.
It's funny because Steve asked me, he gave me a list of his first choices for the end of year holiday type call-ins.
Yeah, the phone call Christmas cards.
Yeah, and one of them on the list was Lou Piniella, and I'm guessing Lou's a little difficult to respond anyway, and he's probably not going to answer me now.
Nah, you call him. He'll be fine.
You think?
Yeah, he'll be fine. And he'll get it. You know who I watched the game with last night for a good portion of the game? Marty Cohen. It was Harry Carey's lawyer for all those years. Oh. You want to hear some great Harry Carey stories.
Yeah.
Get trapped in an elevator with Marty Cohen. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good dude. Next.
You got to be bleeping me. Yes.
President Trump looking for a new chief of staff. Raise your hand if you'd like to be it, because nobody will. John Kelly is going to leave at the end of the year. That's General John Kelly. Among the possible candidates, Mark Meadows of the farthest of the far right, the Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin, the budget director, Mick Mulvaney, who's probably got the inside track. Mm. The U.S. trade rep, Robert Lighthizer. Nick Ayers, the chief of staff to the vice president, Mike Pence, might be the smartest guy in the room. At 36 or 37 years old, one of the hot young names in politics.
It's like the Sean McVay of politics.
Exactly. He said no thanks.
Well, he did.
He said no thanks because he... Smart. How about this for an excuse? He wants to spend more time with his family.
Yeah, I mean, listening to our mayor, Mayor Emanuel, and listening to Bill Daley and others, it's a tough job.
Yeah.
You know, it's not one that it's a burnout
job. It's a brutal job.
Yeah.
It's an absolutely brutal job. But when you're 36, you got all the energy in the world, and a chief of staff is at its high-profile position, and you say no, I'm not buying. You want to spend more time with your family.
Yeah, I think he has new triplets. I think that's the deal. He has the young triplets at home, so that's enough right there.
Triplets, that sounds like a nightmare.
Next! U.S. lawmakers face a deadline next week to avert a partial government shutdown. Remember that story? Remember when that was a big deal?
Mm-hmm.
Funding for President Trump's proposed wall on the southern border is a major sticking point. Next. I thought I showed some restraint there. Hundreds of thousands without power, snow, sleet, freezing rain at parts of the South. North Carolina is getting a blizzard. More than 300,000 power outages at least across the region. 240,000 in North Carolina alone. Parts of Alabama, Georgia, South Carolina, Tennessee, and Virginia also saw outages. This will affect air travel today. If you're flying anywhere today, make a note of seeing if you got to get to the airport on time because it may be delayed. Next, a couple of nuns at St. James Catholic Church in Torrance, California, have been accused of misappropriating, stealing at least $500,000 from tuition and fees, allegedly used the funds on personal trips and gambling at casinos.
Mm.
Wasn't the habit a clue? Sister, you can't play wild cherry slots all night. You must move along.
So from here on out, if I'm in the casino and I see a couple of nuns at the blackjack table, I know they're probably up to no good.
Sounds like a joke.
That's not fair.
Before it was cute. You're like, oh, look how cute. Now I'm like, oh, I need to rethink that.
They ruined it for all the other nuns?
They ruined it for all the nuns.
Doesn't it sound like the opening to joke? Two nuns walk into a casino.
Yeah. Is Whoopi going to make another, whatever that is, the Sister Act 6?
Literally, they're playing with house money.
And as stated, Lee Smith and Harold Baines in the hall. So there you go. That's your top 6 and 6.
That's it!
That's all today for the top 6 and 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
I also want to apologize. My sister, Leslie, and her husband, Ian, went to the game with us last night. And Leslie went over the boards, and we did not see that coming. There was a period in the third period, and our mother has done that many times.
Okay, yeah.
But she went over the glass and onto the ice and had to be removed, forcefully removed. No, it's not good.
It starts, it's so fun when it starts, but then once you get into that and your friend is on the ice, not so good. Like, this is not good.
They just don't let fans fight players like they used to.
No, they used to, right. And hockey's changed.
It's really is.
Doctor.
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 And doctor. Well, we miss anyone?
Is Northwestern Medicine BP. Call Dr. Most right now.
Dr. Kevin Most.
No
You know, Doc makes a lot of trips to North Carolina, and I don't think Pinehurst is going to open this month. Looks like a blizzard.
Yeah, Pinehurst, fortunately, was just south of the snow, so they got snow, but they didn't get a lot. But up in Raleigh, yeah, they were over a foot, so it's it'll be 50 there later in the week, though, so it'll hopefully it all melt.
But a foot of snow in Raleigh, that'll shut down the city for a couple of days.
Yeah, really, it will.
I mean, they have one plow and a guy named Bob.
Correct, and they don't have salt. So, I mean, what they put down is sand and try to clear the streets as well as they can, but they just can't spend the money on it because it doesn't happen that often.
Can I ask you an anxiety question? We're talking about health today, obviously, with Dr. Most. If your smoke alarm goes off at 1 a.m., and that's how you get woken up in the middle of the night, is it normal to have your heart beat at like 300 beats per minute for a while?
Yeah, it does, until someone says, did you change your battery?
Wasn't a battery. Some fluke.
It wasn't.
No, some fluke.
Wow.
Don't know. But, you know, after that, it's a little tough to get back to sleep.
It is.
So, by the way, that was me. I'm the one in the story. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Since I brought it up.
It tells you the safety of those instruments in our homes, though. Both carbon monoxide as well as smoke detector is very important.
Well, and, you know, there's
sounds
people,
like a good stress test, too. So
yeah, and the people there's people listening this happened to, obviously. And that's what you do then. You lay in bed and you go, I wonder if it's CO2.
Yeah.
And then you lay just waiting to die from the silent killer.
So. Are you sure you didn't leave a frozen pizza in the oven? And, like, not take it out and have it get charred?
Yeah, I haven't had a frozen pizza in about 15 years.
But that sounds like someone who has done it in the past.
Yeah. No, I haven't, but I do know quite a few people that have. Yeah. I have a very precise timing on my frozen pizza cooking, so.
Yeah.
Doc, every year we do this, kind of an annual tradition. Find a few Christmas gifts that are healthy, because a lot of them aren't.
You know, we're 2 weeks away from Christmas, and it's always that stress. Oh, what am I going to get for so-and-so? What am I going to get? And we build up so much anxiety and stress just with our own selves. Why don't we start to think about how we can relieve anxiety, stress, and maybe a little bit of health throughout the year for those that you're giving gifts to as well?
All right. Monthly subscriptions are a big deal.
They are. You know, the Fruit of the Month Club, people make a lot of jokes about it, and, you know, it's like, oh, Fruit of the Month Club. You know, it's not Fruitcake of the Month Club. It's actually Fruit of the Month Club. And people actually, two things happen there. One, you're promoting healthy eating. And two, people get a sense of joy knowing that in, you know, March, when they're getting that gift, they remember that you're the one that gave them that gift. So it brings them mental pleasure as well as it makes sure that they're eating healthy, because we start to get in the winter where we're getting our fruit from South America and it's not as scarce, it's more scarce and it's more expensive. So when you get these high quality Fruit of the Month boxes, it does two things. One, it makes you eat healthy and makes you really give you some pleasure towards the individual who gave it to you.
Yeah, Harry and David send a box of pears every year to me, and this is from my agent, Steve Mandel, who doesn't listen to the show.
Fancy.
And I don't like pears, you love pears. So it's a great day for you.
The best thing, there was David Hochberg also had us on a Fruit of the Month Club when Ross started working for him. And so each month we were getting pineapple, cherries, nice. And I was the benefactor of all of the fruit.
Because here's the way it worked, Doc, because I love fruit, but I'd leave. Because, you know, I mean, there's days here. I'm here till 10, 15, 10, 20 some days, as you know. And I'm halfway home, and I get a call, and I go, oh, a box of fruit came in from Harry and David. I don't know if it'll be good tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then Sam would watch out.
I better take this. And the nice thing about those is you get fruit that you can't necessarily get in season here. You know, like peaches sometimes in the winter. You know, it's really nice.
Yep. One of the boxes had the Skipper and Gilligan in it. 3, 4, 5. Now, I got Kevin. Remember when Kevin produced his show, Kevin Powell?
Absolutely. You got a Bacon of the Month.
I got a Bacon of the Month.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
I'm thinking that's not one of your favorites?
No, you know, it really isn't. I mean, you might give a lot of joy to people, but really, unless they're on some big, heavy keto diet, it's probably not the best gift for them.
All right, what about tech gifts? You like tech gifts?
I think there's some really cool tech gifts out. One is going to be out more next year called the eSkin, and we'll talk about it sometime during the year because it's just absolutely cool and fascinating. But the one that I really like right now is from a company called Muse. And we always talk about try to relax, try to, you know, try to meditate, try to get to a point where you can, when you're really anxious like you just were, how would you go fall back asleep? And Muse has this cool technology. It's a wearable headband, but it essentially teaches you how to meditate. Different programs focusing on whether it's your breathing, whether it's your heartbeat, whether it's your mind, and it's really cool technology. I tried it last week, and it's actually very, very relaxing and teaches you how to slow down, and you do it a couple times a week, and it really can make a big impact.
Is there a speaker in it or something? I don't understand how it works.
Yeah, you have, it's an app, and you have speakers in your ear. And it's telling you what's going on. And if, like, if you're going to do the mind portion of it, and if your mind is really racing, so I have actually tried it. So I'm watching the news, and I'm getting kind of frustrated watching the news, and I put it on, and it's giving me these loud noises. And then as it says, you know, relax, relax, and you start to just feel that, the music changes, and it gets more, it is absolutely a really, it's a cool technology. And we talk about stress all the time, and people say, well, go just try to relax. And this actually teaches you how to relax. It's pretty cool.
There's something fun about that, and I guess concerning, only because a report out today about screen time and its effect on 10 and 11-year-olds, Doc.
Yep.
And what it might be doing to change brain and behavior patterns. How do you deal with that when, you know, in the medical community, you guys are watching that, but when you talk about gifts, I mean, it's so easy to give somebody just, oh, here's the newest, you know, technology, here's a new app, here's whatever it is. But, I mean, you have to start thinking about some of this technology and some of these screens when it comes to kids in middle school.
Absolutely. Yeah, you hit a very good point when we talk about, you know, giving them games, giving them the newest video game. I mean, I'm sorry, if you look at my entire list, I don't have it that anywhere near there. As a matter of fact, I go to, why don't you do some more things with your family? You know, let's stay away from some of the video games. Video games to me are extremely concerning for a couple reasons. One, the vast majority of them are pretty violent. And kind of teaches kids more about violence than it does about values. And two, the sedentary options that they take when they're playing these games. I'm sorry, but we're having people that are buying $300, $400, $500 video gaming chairs, which is so wrong. But again, it's something that's going to happen. So we really do need to start looking at some of the technology apps. Like I said, the eSkin, Justin, when I tell you about it, it's more about activity. It's more about what you can do and how you can do it properly. So we look at technology of what can we do to get kids more active versus let's give them the newest game or a video game chair that makes them sit longer.
All right, more healthy gifts coming up with Dr. Kevin Mo, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. The pursuit of better health care starts here. Dr. Kevin Most, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. The pursuit of better health care starts here. There's a reason the doctor and the nurses and your health care pros check your blood pressure every time you go see them, because it's really, really, really important. Doc, that's another gift, right?
It's a great gift. You know, like you said, those numbers are very important. It's important that y'all know them, because high blood pressure, 20 million people, one out of every three individuals in this country has high blood pressure, and it does damage to our heart, to our eyes, to our kidneys. But yeah, you don't know it. Walking down the street, I can't tell who has high blood pressure without knowing. And, you know, so there's two things there. One is knowing what your numbers are, and two, monitoring it. If you just know your blood pressure the one time you go to the doctor a year, then you really are doing yourself a disservice. So,
and you could be a very active, you know, you can be an athlete. You could still have high blood pressure, because part of that's hereditary at times, right?
Absolutely. I have high blood pressure. I mean, I take medication every day for blood pressure, and I think I'm in fairly good shape.
In very good shape. And by the way, you're a good dancer.
Thank you. I would stop leading. Blood pressure cuffs now are very reasonably priced and are very good. And I say if you're going to get one for somebody, you know, get them. Omron is a great company that makes one. They're about, you can get them for $50-$75. And make sure they bring it to the doctor's office for that first visit, just to make sure that they calibrate it, to make sure that it's accurate.
Isn't Omron based here? Isn't that a Chicago company? No?
Okay. It may be.
I think it is. Anyway, if you work for Omron, hi, good morning. What about stress relievers? You like aromatherapy, huh? I can't see you burning incense at the house.
You know, and it's not so much burning incense, but there is a lot of essential oils now that people are using for aromatherapy. We use it in the hospitals because we find out it decreases anxiety and actually is a good option for pain relief in many people. So it's really starting to be on an uptick right now, and we're starting to see more and more people enjoy it. And if it decreases anxiety and can give you some pain relief, and all it is just the aroma of an oil, I'm all for it. Someone like you, you might be that aroma, that pizza, but, you know, some people like, you know, other...
What is that?
I like that. You were just... He just stereotyped you there.
Shot. Take a total shot. Sandra, you know anything about yoga? Because it's a stress reliever.
I do. I know a lot about yoga. I think that it's not only a stress reliever, but it also... could help give everybody more peace, and then they have more self-awareness of their body, and they'll treat other people better.
Right, no, I like to say, namaste. No, I feel better.
No, and Mary hits it right on the head. Yoga is a lot more balanced than we think. And, you know, even if you don't think you're going to be able to do it or go to a yoga class, you know, a yoga mat and a yoga DVD, or at least some, just learning some of the poses, even for the golfers out there, it helps build core, it helps build balance. But the other relief symptoms of it as well is great.
Get an infusion picture if you don't already have one, so you're drinking plenty of water. Get a good, healthy cookbook if you don't already have one. These are also great gift ideas, obviously, but you can buy them for yourself. And this is the time of year, every year, where Doc tries to sell me on a grown man wearing mittens.
I can't tell you, Steve, you know, people like to wear gloves because they think they're stylish, and I just tell you, when it really gets cold, that's more foolish than stylish. And, you know, there's a great company out called Handout that makes a really high-quality mitten. And you know what? Mittens allow you to keep your fingers together and let them heat themselves. I have a condition called Raynaud's. There's probably a lot of people out there that have it. And it's a vascular condition that when your fingers get cold, they become white because our circulation decreases. Wearing gloves allows that to not happen as often. So keeping your fingers together allows you to make a fist. It's much safer for you when it's really cold. So
what's the Handout Glove Pro?
I'm going to still hit that mitten bandwagon.
I think you're getting payback from the mitten industry. What is the Handout Glove Pro?
That's a mitten that actually has a zipper on top. So people say, I can't use a mitten because I can't answer my phone. Yes, you can. It has a zipper right on top. You unzip it, you pop it out, you answer your phone, you put your hand right back in the mitten.
All right, I'll get mittens.
Yep.
You finally convinced me. If you join a health club, you actually have to use it, a gift card for, you know, like Dick's Sporting Goods or, you know, gym shoes something. I mean, anything, just to promote movement, right?
Yeah, and I'm not a big fan of saying, oh, I'm going to give you a year's at a health club. Don't do that unless the individual already knows that they like the club and they're going to go to the club and use the club. Nothing worse than paying a club membership month after month and not using it. Same with equipment. Let the individual try the equipment first before you go and buy it. You get an elliptical, there are different kinds, there's different feelings to them, and you want to make sure that it's successful so that you're not paying a check every month for somewhere you don't go, or you're not using your elliptical equipment to hold clothes in the basement.
I got the Bowflex for your Secret Santa, Steve. Yeah. I don't know if you're a Bowflex guy.
Actually, if you get an electric recliner, you can get a lot of leg up and downs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's really good. Doc, you're fabulous as always, and all these notes will be posted with the podcast. And don't forget, Doc and I have a long-form podcast we did a couple of weeks ago, and the Steve Cochran podcast.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, we're going to do part two coming up. And part three, and part four, and part five, and so on. Thank you, buddy.
You got it. We'll talk to you guys soon.
Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. The pursuit of better health care starts here, and in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, Steve Grzanich next.
Hakeem Hicks scored a touchdown last week. Can they give it to him again? They don't, and then Trubisky throws, and that's caught by Bradley Sewell, lineman, eligible for the touchdown. That's something. They bring in half the defensive unit. They make a tackle eligible, and it's the first touchdown of the night. Crazy.
Does that play have a name?
Yeah, Santa Slay.
Who named that?
We did. We named it.
Out of all the reindeers, you know you're the mastermind.
Telling you, Matt Nagy thinks he's playing a video game. So he does not know he's a coach in the National Football League.
But it's so infectious. Like, it's so fun to watch all those players run out, the big defensive linemen for that play, for them to get in, and how excited they were. I don't know. It's just, it's even for us. I mean, it's like, there's so much energy and excitement. And
I think it's a smart play. Wide receivers are crazy enough. You don't want to give them a reason to complain.
I love it.
But that was a highlight for Trubisky last night. Yeah. The Hamp OB and occasionally Kaz show highlighted that as well. You want to play this clip now or you want to play it in segment? Give me a little bit of Hamp from last night if you have it ready.
This is a Ferrari that won't break the speed limit. Now think about that. We paid a ransom for him, and we don't got nothing to show for him.
We're
making excuses for him.
The best thing about an offensive tackle going into the end zone is he has the leaping ability to pull an overthrown pass in for a touchdown. Good morning, Hemp.
Well, and you know, quite honestly, we are so happy with you know, hey, think about this. The Rams, you know, pretty much de facto number one team in football. They come in here, and I mean, they look so miserable by the end of the first quarter. You knew this was not going to end well for them. And hey, so much of that team, the offensive line, played the best game they played in 5 years. The defensive line dominated start to finish. We've got to find a way to get the quarterback to join in. Otherwise, you know, this is not going to be the team that we need it to be when we get to the playoffs.
Did you ever ask Ditka if you could go on a pass route?
No, but, you know, think about this. You know, Bill Walsh was the one that put Guy McIntyre in the backfield, and it so offended Ditka. It so offended, you know, Buddy Ryan, and Ditka countered the next year. So all this is a lot of fun. Yay. And, you know, it's really cool, and they're naming plays, and it works. But, you know, sooner or later, it's almost like an affront to the opponent, and sooner or later, you know, they're going to try to do something about it to stop it.
Sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com. It's Hall of Famer Dan Hampton. Say hi to Hamp, Dave.
Well, Hamp, first of all, I use the term uncomfortable earlier to describe Jared Goff. They never let him get comfortable.
Uncomfortable. You could hear him whining. It's cold. Well, can we go back to L.A.?
But you know, this. Now, I'm not talking temperature. I'm not talking the weather.
Yes,
but
ridiculous.
He had, if it wasn't Eddie Goldman, if it wasn't Akeem Hicks, if it wasn't, you name him, on that defensive line getting in his face, there was somebody there last night.
Total top-to-bottom domination. And did we think going in that, you know, a team that's averaging 34.9 points a game would be held to six? Did we think that Todd Gurley, a MVP candidate, would never be heard from? Did we think that Aaron Donald, a guy that's basically rewriting their record book for defensive tackles, rushing the back, he was obliterated? So all those things, you know, and it's all good stuff. And sooner or later, you know, our attention will turn to the playoffs and how well we could or might do. All you can do is play the games one at a time. And, you know, sure, we didn't have the finest effort last week. But last night, from top to bottom, it was so great. But again, you know, I hate to be the Debbie Downer. This is a team that's, you know, winning despite the quarterback play. And in today's NFL, so many, you know, teams are winning because of quarterbacks. So it's a crazy inverse, you know, type of effect. But it was so good to see the way the offense was so diverse with Jordan Howard over 100 yards for the first time this year. Actually, the second time this year. And Tariq Cohen had some big plays. But, you know, and sooner or later, smart defensive coordinators are going to know what to do when they see our quarterback start struggling like he did.
Yeah. Hampty, is it possible? I mean, because as you mentioned, I mean, there's trends right now in football that show offensive dominance, 40 points a game. We saw that Monday Night Football game with the Chiefs and the Rams. But the Bears and the Bears defense, the formula is different. It's shut them out, and they're one of maybe two or three teams in the NFL that can do that. Is it possible that we could get by with mediocre quarterback play and an offense that stalls and go far in the playoffs because of what's happening on the defensive side of the ball?
You never know. You know, I don't think it's going to be a 26-degree day in L.A. when they, you know, when they're in the playoffs and in the Superdome. So, you know, the defense was a huge factor. But the cold had something to do with it. It to me, it kept them from actually getting excited about trying to engage. And when they came out and they struggled early, it was almost like there was, okay, we're 11-2, big deal. We're going to fly back to L.A. and you guys got to stay here and wake up in the cold. All I know is, at the moment in time, the Bears served notice that this is possible anywhere, anytime. And Vic Fangio, you know, everybody's patting Matt Nagy on the back, and he deserves, you know, a lot of compliments. But Vic Fangio, and, you know, the two hidden hands that Matt Nagy will forever and a day look back and say, how blessed was I? Number one, they kept Vic Fangio as the coordinator for the continuity of the defense, and Khalil Mack became, you know, available. Those two things, it's almost impossible to calculate how big of an impact those two factors have been.
Do you have any idea what the play was called when Fridge scored in the Super Bowl? It wasn't Santa's sleigh. It may have been Fridge's refrigerator. I don't know what it was.
Keep your feet out of the way.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't want him stepping on our feet.
The cold. Can you think of a single quarterback from the 80s that you put paint on that folded like Jared Goff did last night because it was cold?
No, yeah, Phil Simms, you know, and the number of them. And everybody goes, oh, well, it's not that big a deal. It is. And, you know, at some point, you would think the opponents would start thinking, hey, somehow, some way, we have to acclimate to this. But they show up, and they freeze up, and then they, you know, they get back on the warm bus and go, what happened? All I know is... We have waited 8 years for a game like that, through the Trestman, through the Fox era, the reign of terror, and now, yes, we are one of the most highly respected teams in all of football.
How about that?
And like I said, nobody wants to play the Bears defense right now.
If you had told me, Dave Ennett, that the Hawks would be struggling and the Bears would be on cruise control in December, I would have told you quit drinking at work.
The Bears would be on the brink of double-digit wins.
Crazy. All right, last word.
Well, Green Bay comes in. Hamp, you're coming off this huge emotional win. Here's your rival, second meeting of the year, chance to erase memories of the season opener on that Sunday night at Lambeau Field. Any chance that the Bears won't be looking at this game like a great opportunity to finally knock off the Packers?
Well, let's hope so. After that, they have to go to San Francisco, where Denver lost yesterday. And then at the end, Minnesota. We know it's tough up there. This is a game that could matter so much. We do not need to kind of get too full of ourselves and overlook it. But I'll tell you this. The Packers know they can beat the Bears. Think back. They spotted the Bears 20 points at halftime, and the quarterback was on one leg, and they still beat the Bears. So they, you know, this is a team you're going to have to beat them. The Packers, I don't think, will beat themselves in this game.
I got to go get Jared Goff some of those hand warmers. So we'll catch up on Friday. But great job by you as always, Dan Hampton.
Go Bears! Big game.
There you go. ChevyDriveChicago.com brings you that.
I think the cold had an effect on our quarterback too. That's what I'm worried about. Our quarterback wanted to get on the bus, too, and was like, it's cold.
Here's the difference. You can lock him outside all day today, so he gets used to it. Right. Jared Goff goes back to L.A. It's 70 sunny.
That's right.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Number one most requested song in labor and delivery rooms from coast to coast. Because our most valuable person on the planet for today, December 10th, 2018, is Ashley Fink from Pennsylvania. Got quite a story. Good morning, Ashley.
Hi, good morning.
How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
We're doing fine. How's Ava?
Oh, she's wonderful.
And she is 1 week old tomorrow?
Yes, that's right.
Came into the world at 7 pounds, 12 ounces. Beautiful baby girl. Is this your first, second, third?
Our second daughter.
Congratulations. How old's the big sis?
Thank you. 5 years old.
Oh, she must be in heaven, man. She must love this.
She She is smitten.
Oh, that's great. 5 years old is perfect age to be the next, you know, the little mom helper.
Absolutely.
Now, I do have to talk to you, Ava, about your timing. Did we wait too long at the house before we left?
I don't know if that's it. I think things just really progressed a lot quicker than we had anticipated. You know, we started having contractions about 1 o'clock, and by 5:30, you know, I was like, we gotta go, and she was just not waiting any longer.
Now, could you tell, you had your other daughter 5 years ago, were you like, did you know the difference between this is coming now and what you think might be happening?
It was completely different.
That's interesting.
You know, with our first daughter, I had labored with her for 17 hours and ended up having a C-section.
Oh, so that's way different.
Yeah. So this was all a completely different experience. By the time we were getting ready to leave the house, I knew that it was going to happen soon. I just didn't know it was going to happen that soon.
Now, a lot of times when you've already had a C-section, the second time around, it's going to be a C-section as well. Were you going to deliver naturally at the hospital if you had gotten there?
That was the plan. We wanted to try to have a natural birth this time around.
You succeeded.
Got a lot.
You did have a natural birth.
We succeed, yes.
We definitely were able to do it naturally. The outcome was what we wanted. Just maybe not in the car.
Well, but normally, that's it. The baby was born in the car. And normally, when this happens, there's an EMT involved, or there's a good Samaritan who just happens to be on the scene. You delivered your own baby. You delivered your own baby. Oh, now, we should say you have nursing experience, but not in delivering your own baby. How did you not panic?
I just think that in the moment, my instincts just took over. There's nothing you can do. I knew she was coming. I knew that I needed to make sure that she was safe, and I just had to make sure she was crying and, you know, make sure I had a good catch on her.
Yeah, I mean, and it's not like there's a, you might have one of those roadside bags in the backseat of your car, but that's got jumper cables. There's no baby delivering swaddling blankets or anything.
Yeah,
we just worked with what we had.
Your husband's driving the car?
Correct.
I got to listen, I'm going to be the idiot dad here. I've gone through this labor and delivery stuff a couple of times, so I think I know what I'm talking about. If you're having the baby in the backseat, I don't know if I stop or go faster. Yeah. I stop now or just floor it.
When I finally said, you know, she's coming now, he was so calm. And he's like, what do you want me to do? And I said, pull over and call 911. And by the time I said that, I pushed and delivered her in my arms.
That's unbelievable. Do you recommend this as a time saver?
I do not recommend this. I suggest highly that if you can get to the hospital, to try to get there.
But
I will say it's quite empowering.
And she's perfectly happy and healthy. And
her husband goes on to complain about something in life, she's going to say,
oh,
I delivered our daughter myself.
In the car.
In the car.
I can't wait till he goes, I don't feel like taking a trash out.
Yeah, that won't ever happen again.
Oh, man. Well, that's a great story. God bless your family, and what a great story, and what a great cool thing. And you're right, you know, empowering is the right word. You must feel like the coolest nurse on the planet.
Yeah, kind of. It feels pretty good.
Yeah, well, and it should. And you are in New York County, Pennsylvania. What town are you in?
We live in Mount Wolf.
Okay, I know that area a little bit. So my best to you and your new family member and her big sis and dad, too. Don't be too tough on dad now.
I'll try not to be.
All right, nurse. Well done by you. You are the most valuable person on the planet. She had her own baby.
Delivered her own baby. I mean, all women have their own.
That's a good point. Yeah. She delivered her own baby. Just have you ever heard of that being done?
Not often.
They dramatize that on TV all the time. Right?
Yeah.
cop shows and stuff like that. So it had to have happened at some point.
I've heard of the dad, you know, them pulling over and the dad. One of our news people, Judy Sue or somebody, had a baby on the side of the highway here.
Yeah. I don't know that I would have said, what do you want me to do? Because I was thinking, she doesn't need to be thinking about making a decision at this point. Oh, but then again, it's the right question to ask.
Oh, yeah, you better ask that.
All right, it is headlines next on 720 WGN.
Listen to Pat Grady.
You know, in a normal world, we wouldn't be talking about anything else. But in Trumplandia, people are going to work, people are going about their business, and this isn't even their biggest topic of the day. It should be. We should all be talking about the fact that the President of the United States has been accused of committing felonies by his own Justice Department. Pat Brady, you were a prosecutor before you did anything else. Why is this so much bigger a deal than anything else that's come up?
Well, it's direct evidence, at least from the allegations that the Justice Department has made, that the president was involved in a felony, basically, of campaign finance violation, where he worked with Michael Cohen to authorize payments to the two women he allegedly had affairs with to keep them quiet, with the intent of influencing the campaign. So it is a big deal.
For the Republican Party not to have outgoing Paul Ryan or Mitch McConnell stand up this weekend and go, we don't know the full facts until the Mueller report comes out, but based on what we're hearing now, I'm very concerned. How big a deal would that be for the Republican Party? And there's no leadership.
Yeah, I think it's a drip, drip, drip. And we could probably talk to Eric about this, our Democratic friend who does commercials. Can you imagine the commercials that are going to come out in 2020 when we try to the president tries to get reelected? These are really bad allegations and bad fact patterns. And if you read through all the sentencing memos that came out last week, it's really disturbing. But again, it just doesn't seem to be on the public conscience yet, or even the politicians haven't really reacted to it, which is surprising to me. And I think there will be a price to pay for Republicans down the road.
Is Pat, and you've been involved in so many different political campaigns, I mean, is it just that the president has done a pretty good job of calling this a witch hunt, making this a partisan issue, even though it doesn't seem like that's the case?
I think he's done a good job with his base on that, but I think it's been so nonstop noise from the president every day. I mean, he shot out a tweet today where he called it he misspelled smoking, called it a smocking gun, no smocking gun. But just every day there's noise where people tune out because, as Steve kind of said in the intro, people have lives, they have things they have to worry about, and they don't want to be talking about this every day. I think he's been more effective at that, but he had a very, very bad week in these sentencing memos that came out with Cohen and Manafort and General Flynn.
Here's the thing that we struggle with here all the time. You know, when people go, they go, what are you so angry about Trump for? What are you saying? Yeah, he's doing a good job. A, I'm angry because the president of the United States doesn't get to act this way. B, the good job he's doing is smoke and mirrors. And C, the two-thirds of the country that don't agree with what he's doing are way too quiet, and way too many of the two-thirds of the population are going, it's unpleasant. I don't want to hear about it. I certainly don't want to hear about it all the time. We need to grow up as a country and accept we have a major problem like we've never seen in our lifetimes. And I'm including Nixon and Clinton. And it has to be dealt with.
And along those lines, Steve, the scary thing is, and there was a woman, a former FBI agent, was on over the weekend, and she said this is also a big counterintelligence issue. I mean, this is the Russians. It's been proved.
Yeah, we don't even know what the Russians got, right? We don't know how much they know now.
Well, we know now, I think, more from what we got last week on what they did. They kind of picked the people they could influence, Papadopoulos, Trump Jr., Michael Cohen, kind of the low-hanging fruit, to try to get into Trump world. Now, that's not implicating the president, but there was a pattern here by the Russians to interfere with our election. That's been established, and that's a big deal, a huge deal.
What's the difference between no person is above the law and the president can't be indicted? How do those two square?
Well, there's a Justice Department memo saying you shouldn't indict a sitting president, and there's also some arguments to be made that the executive branch can't indict the executive branch, and that's where the Justice Department comes out of. I'm not sure where those arguments fall, but, you know, those are things that they can debate if they actually decide to indict the president. But I think a couple of things people are forgetting. The CFO of the Trump Organization has been granted immunity. And Michael Cohen did 7 meetings, 10 hours long, with the Southern District of New York, just on Trump World, on their organization. So beyond the counterintelligence aspects, he's got significant legal problems, I believe, with what happened in his organization relating to Russia and some other things. So he's in, he has a lot of legal jeopardy right now.
I have more questions, and I know you probably have other things you need to do, but we're going to need you to hold on.
Sure, absolutely.
Right, thank you, Pat Brady. Stand by. The love team from Pat Brady, who joins us on Thursdays to talk politics and other times during the week. Always appreciate your time, Pat. And I think the thing that people are having a little bit of trouble wrapping their head around, but if you pause just long enough to think about it, everybody should get it. This is not just about campaign finance law. If you keep in mind that there is a criminal side to this and a political side to this, and impeachment is political, the political side to this is the election was stolen. That you don't know what could have happened if, in fact, this had come out prior to the election. And this being that he paid off or ordered Michael Cohen to pay off his two girlfriends.
Yeah, and that's the big question. But to me, of all the things that they're looking at right now, the campaign finance violations are the least serious. If you look at the other sentencing memos that came out last week, they're looking at some very serious allegations of Russian interference in our election beyond what was in the Cohen sentencing memo. Say that this is very, very serious. And you hear the arguments from the supporters of the president that campaign finance violations, oh, you shouldn't be charging these. Look what happened to John Edwards. But this is completely different than what he did.
Well, Pat, I mean, people who support Trump will say, well, who cares? All right, so he did it. Anyone would do that. I mean, that's what the president has gone on, this sort of I don't know if it's like the everyman kind of thing. Wouldn't you do the same thing kind of argument, and it's not worth indicting him or taking him out of office?
Yeah, they made this. Bill Clinton made the same arguments in the 90s that because it was, they would make the argument, oh, it's just about sex and what you do this to save your marriage. And they're bad arguments. He's president of the United States, and in one of the sentencing memos, and I think this is instructive into how Mueller is approaching this, he put in there that we expect our leaders at this level to behave at the highest standards. And that applies to everybody, the president, the junior, everybody in the White House. So as much as people want to make that argument in support of the president, I don't think that argument really applies when you're trying to equally apply the law.
Pat, what's the advantage to us knowing all of this, and what are we looking for? Because you've said impeachment's the worst thing that could happen. So is this just to prevent a future situation, or what is the goal?
Well, there's two goals. The one goal of the Mueller investigation in the Southern District of New York is application of the criminal law. This is all Title 18. These are federal violations. Interference in our elections by the Russians, that if someone conspired here, that's a 371 conspiracy to defraud the United States. I mean, this is serious stuff.
Oh, I know, but what's the benefit of having our president having done this? If we prove that, is that then the worst case is no longer impeachment? Impeachment's better?
Well, two things. There's kind of two tracks. There's the criminal track, and then there's the political, the impeachment track. Now, I don't, and I've said all along, I think impeachment is a disaster for the country, and even the Democrats over the weekend, who would be in charge of it, because they're going to be controlling the Judiciary Committee, I don't think want to do that. But the reality is, nobody's above the law.
Yeah, and at some point, you got to pull the ripcord.
Yeah, and listen, I'm not advocating for it. I'm not saying any of this with any glee, because I'm really not a fan of the president. The point is, if you read these memos and what came out last week, this is some very, very serious bad conduct. This is not, you can't diminish what has gone on here, and we'll see how this plays out. Maybe the president's going to be exonerated, but a lot of the people around him are in big trouble.
And you can't normalize this behavior for the president. You can't. We're not talking about an ordinary citizen. We're talking about the person that is the most powerful person on the planet, who is supposed to be running the country and having honor for his office. And by the way, I said in the 90s, and I still feel, Bill Clinton should have been thrown out of office for his conduct. Tons of people don't agree with me on that. I don't care. That's how I feel.
Yeah.
But he should have been thrown out of office, and Donald Trump needs to be removed. The criminal part of this is the law. That'll take care of itself one way or another. But he cannot be president of the United States. He is a bad human being who continues to treat the office like it's his cute little company in New York City. And it can't continue to happen, Pat.
Yeah, and until, like you said at the top of this, until we see some talk from Republican leadership or his own party, I don't think we're going to see a lot of movement because the Democrats, I think, smartly do not know that this impeachment proceeding can really backfire on you. It happened to us in the 90s. Bill Clinton went out with a 58% approval rate.
Justin,
so it's a political, can be a political time bomb.
There is something that you know, you think about sports, and you think that, you know, I think of the New England Patriots, and they've been accused of stealing signals and deflating balls and any sort of tarnish on their legacy. But it's similar in that way, that, you know, what you do and what character you show to get the job is as important as what you do with it.
Yeah, and the character thing, listen, I'm not many character flaws, but he's president of the United States. And we're supposed to be the leaders of the free world. And this conduct and the way he behaves, and I think people are really getting fed up with it. And we saw it in the last election results. We lost 40 seats in the House, Republicans. That's almost twice what you would normally lose in a midterm election. So I think the people are waking up to what Trump's all about and the damage he did here in Illinois. We lost two congressional seats, I submit, completely because people in the suburbs do not like this guy, are not going to support Republicans. So it's a big problem.
Thank you, Pat Brady. See you this week.
See you guys. Thanks.
There you go. Hawks tickets?
Hawks tickets. Seventh caller right now. You can win a pair of tickets to see the Blackhawks play Winnipeg Jets this Friday, December 14th, ooh, courtesy of Four Seasons Heating and Air Conditioning and Plumbing. Also, you can listen today at 4:40 to the Ro Khan Show with Anna DeVlantes. They've got a second pair of tickets for you.
Seventh caller?
Courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. Yes, seventh caller.
312-981-7200. Stories of Matter with Steve Rzanich next in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah.
Time now for more on entertainment. Dean Richards joins me from the Channel 9 studios, just back from Los Angeles. How was that?
Oh, it was a lot of fun. We talked with the casts of some of the big movies that are going to be opening.
Like what? Like what big movie?
Well, like the one that got the most nominations at the Golden Globes the other day.
Dude, Where's My Car?
Dude, Where's My Car 7.
Mm.
Been waiting for the seventh installment of that to come out. But in the meantime, they're also talking about Vice, this Dick Cheney movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That stars Christian Bale. It got six nominations. Six.
Christian Bale is nuts, which is one of the reasons he's a great actor. But you don't know what you're going to get with him when you sit down,
yeah,
do you?
How was it?
I've always had great conversations with him. So, I mean, he's a little.
But don't you feel like you could ask him? You could ask him how the day's going, and you just reach over and punch you right in the face.
Rip
isn't
my
he that kind of crazy?
Right out of my throat. Yeah. I used to think that when he was playing he seemed a little more troubled when he was playing Batman.
Mm-hmm.
And standing on the edge of then Sears Tower, you know, that's going to rattle a guy a little bit. You can't fault him for that, but he couldn't have been nicer the last several times that I've talked to him.
Very, so he was good. Who else did you talk to?
Very, very nice. Amy Adams.
She's pretty.
She is so nice and so down to earth.
She's a great actress, too,
so
by the way.
Wonderful. The director of this movie, Vice, Adam McKay, told me a great story. You know, Dick Cheney is famous for his heart attacks. He's had a lot of heart attacks.
Well, that's not the only thing he's famous for, but he is one of the leaders in that category.
One of the things that when you think Dick Cheney's had quite a few
five or six or something.
Procedures,
right?
Yeah. While they were making this movie, Adam McKay had a mild heart attack.
Oh, no.
The reason that they knew that is because Christian Bale had researched the character so much, how to play Dick Cheney having a heart attack, that he knew the signs. When Adam McKay was having symptoms, Christian said, hey, that's a sign of a heart attack. And are you feeling it here? Are you feeling it here? He knew exactly what to ask for. They rushed him to the hospital.
Wow.
And it turned out that he was okay. That's only part of the story. In the beginning of this movie, when you see the movie, there's a Dick Cheney heart procedure scene in which they show film. Up on the screen, they show like an angiogram being done. It's Adam McKay's angiogram from when he had
the
heart attack while he was making the movie.
Yeah. I like that. Is cool. I think that's
because you can sign off on the privacy thing. Go
right. It's it
wastes good footage.
Right.
And Adam McKay is he's a good dude. Funny.
Have you seen the movie?
I have.
I know you got reviews that you'll come out later.
What do you think of it?
Can I ask? Is the movie funny?
The movie at times is hilariously funny. It's not a serious political drama.
Yeah.
It's clever and it's witty. There's a point in the movie where it looks like Chaney's career is done and things are done, and they start rolling fake credits in the middle of the movie. I go, but wait, no, wait, there's more. And then they continue with the rest of the Chaney story.
So here's the one I have trouble getting by, and you can tell me it's going to be fine because I love Steve Carell, but Steve Carell is Donald Rumsfeld. Yeah.
Donald Rumsfeld in the movie. It's not a huge part, but it's a meaty one. Who's a standout in this movie is Sam Rockwell as George W.
Right.
Bush.
So good. There's a lot of Chicago.
Tyler Perry plays Colin Powell.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, wow.
So is Madea Condoleezza Rice?
That would be so good.
Adam McKay was a Second City main stage and a big part of Second City here in Chicago in the 90s, and that's where he worked with Stephen Carell when they were both on stage at Second City.
Yeah. Whatever happened to those two? Yeah. They work out
great.
Okay?
I just love when they get those connections later in their careers. They're both huge and famous, and they work together. That's cool.
When is the formal review of Vice?
I liked it a lot. I'm going to give it a really good review, but it opens on Christmas Day.
Okay. So. Well, I'm not coming in that day.
A little bit. What? Excuse me. It'll be before that. I also talked with Steve Carell this weekend because he has a new movie called Welcome to Marwen, a true story of a guy who is severely beaten, and part of his therapy is creating this little fantasy world of dolls and puppets. It's the only way that he can cope with reality. It's a true story, and it sounds weird that this guy is building lifelike puppets and dolls, but it's an actual true story, and Steve Carell is great in it. Who else is in it? Janelle Monáe is featured in the movie.
Dwight Schrute.
Judd Apatow's wife. Why am I forgetting her
Leslie
name?
Leslie Mann.
Leslie Mann is great in the movie as well.
Now, Dean, when you sit down with somebody like Steve Carell for that movie, but he's in everything right now. He's got like five things going. Are you allowed to talk about any of the other things?
Yeah. Yeah, I brought up Donald Rumsfeld to him. We talked a little about that. He's going to be in Chicago next week, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. The movie, by the way, this Welcome to Marwan movie, is directed by Chicagoan Robert Zemeckis.
Oh, yeah.
Of Back to the Future fame and Forrest Gump and Polar Express. And, I mean, go down the list of them.
Is it good?
It's different.
Okay.
Fantasy inspiring.
Well, like this show.
This show a little more fantasy than inspiring.
We continue with more on entertainment after the break with this movie Roma, which everybody's talking about, not just a spaghetti sauce.
Speaking of more on entertainment, when I was in Hollywood, people were coming up to me asking when you and I are going to put our footprints in the cement at the Chinese Museum as morons in entertainment.
I tried to put some wet cement over Trump's star, and somebody had already gotten to it before me. Star's doing the right thing. Sinatra story, Kirk Douglas birthday, James Beard Awards, staying in Chicago, we're going, all that coming up.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richards, the entertainment editor, Channel 9720.
It's 8:26. We continue with more on entertainment. And Dean, I wanted to remind you, New Year's Eve, you'll be joining me on stage at the beautiful Tivoli Theater in Downers Grove. Now, Dean, if you need tickets, I suggest you go to Eventbrite.com.
I have canceled all appearances, Steve, between now and then, so I can
get ready.
Concentrate all my focus on the live performance.
I think that's probably right.
That night. I'm not one to just go on stage and flounder around.
I don't want to blow the surprise, but
I'm an actor.
You,
I like to prepare. Yeah.
But you playing the pan flute in a diaper, I think, is going to be a lot of fun for people.
Oh, Dean's going as Baby New Year?
Yeah.
Nice.
And he's doing a Zamfir thing that's just going to blow the roof off the sucker.
I've already started a full body electrolysis.
Well, in your case, you're going to need it. All right, so Roma. This is the black and white 14-hour movie that I'm not going to see.
It's not 14 hours. It's about 2.5, but it's black and white. It's all in Spanish. It's a fairly unremarkable story. Just given that, why wouldn't you want to see it?
Right, it sounds riveting.
It's an autobiographical film about director Alfonso Cuarón, the Academy Award-winning director, I might add. It's a fairly unremarkable story, but if you like beautiful cinematography, if you like You know, if you're a big film head, you're going to love this movie.
But is this movie hot because Hollywood loves it or because it's worthy of being hot?
I think it's because Hollywood likes
it. Yeah, exactly.
And as evidenced by the Los Angeles and Chicago Film Critics Associations, both naming it its best movie. Those picks, especially these two critics organizations, tend to be very eclectic in their picks. And again, you know, it's for film heads. It's not, this movie really, I don't think, is for the average person. It's a fairly unremarkable story. There's not really a plot to the story. It's a chunk of life in a middle-class Mexican family, which is interesting to watch. And it, again, beautifully shot, beautiful cinematography, beautiful, you know, film things that you'll some people will like in this movie. But it's now the New York, L.A., and Chicago critics have all called it the best movie of the year. I think it's a very it's a good movie. I don't think it's the best movie of the year by any stretch.
Celebrities doing a nice thing.
Celebrities like Tyler Perry paying off $400,000 in layaways at a Walmart store in Atlanta over the weekend.
Is that just because the line was super long and he wanted to get to his car?
He said times are tough. He's appreciative that he's able to be able to afford doing this, so he paid it off. Kid Rock hears about what Tyler Perry does. He does something similar at a Walmart in Nashville.
That's very nice.
And then tweets to Tyler Perry, "You inspired me by what you did. Merry Christmas." So very nice on both of their
parts. You know how if you go to get your layaway item and you think you're paying $86 or something and it's zero because somebody took care of it?
Yeah. Right.
That's the best feeling.
Yeah, that's nice.
It's really sweet.
Never happened. People would just, you know, would ask what happened. Or how many people would just leave thinking somebody made a terrible mistake? I'm leaving before they find out.
Well, it's really no different than last night. I was I stopped at a gas station and I went inside and I got a bottle of water and the guy in front of me needed a penny and the have a penny, leave a penny thing was empty and I gave it to him. I said, "I got this. I totally got this."
Man, you're so thoughtful.
Merry Christmas.
Thankless too,
Steve. You've inspired me much like Tyler Perry today. I'm going to give a penny to someone.
Pay it forward, Dean. Pay it forward.
Yep.
Sinatra auction?
They had a big auction of his personal effects over the weekend, and they took in $9 million for memorabilia, jewelry, art, books, little personal items, among them a 20-carat diamond engagement ring that he presented to his fiancée in a glass of champagne. That went for $1.7 million all by itself. And all the money's going to go to the Barbara Sinatra Center, which works with physical, sexual, and emotionally abused women and men.
Well, that's a great story.
Yeah.
Kirk Douglas just won't quit, and good for him.
Yesterday.
100 and what?
102 years old.
Wow.
102 years old. Three-time Oscar nominee, got an honorary Oscar back in 1996. Celebrated with his family in New York, including son Michael, daughter-in-law Catherine Zeta-Jones, and his wife, who is 99 years old. He has a sister.
I heard they were splitting up. They needed some time apart.
He wants to sow some wild oats while he still has time. The wife is 99. His sister is 100 years old. They've got some good genes in there.
No kidding. And James Borden... this show's not live, don't worry.
James Beard Awards.
And the James Beard Awards are staying in Chicago?
Yeah, the mayor, your pal, Rahm Emanuel, is going to make an announcement in about a half an hour, announcing that the James Beard Awards will be staying in Chicago until 2027.
Wow. That's good news for you, Justin. You might get a third.
Yeah, or an invite.
Wait, you're not automatically invited if you won a James Beard Award?
I just feel like it should be like football. If you win awards or whatever, you get a cool
like the Masters.
Jacket.
Once you win,
yeah, you get
you're
a jacket,
always invited.
You get to invite, but then it rarely happens. I always find myself
Never happens.
It never happens.
Yeah, Dean. Plus, he mocked the award on stage.
No, that was me. I mocked the award.
Yeah.
Oh, Justin. No, it was acceptance speech.
Did,
he did
I didn't mock the. I did a funny bit.
Just
like
a bit,
that's like saying Steve Carell mocks the Oscars when he goes out there and makes a funny bit.
It didn't work out so well, did it? Yeah. Mr. No Tickets.
Okay, come out on the red carpet. I'm out on the red carpet every year.
Yeah.
Doesn't get better than that, standing out in the hot weather and the rain.
And a clipboard and an attitude, you can walk into anything.
Yeah, that's true.
Just walk in, act like you've been there. Dean, thank you for all that you do.
Steve, it's my pleasure, and I look forward to doing it again with you tomorrow.
Look forward to a hairless Dean, well, even more so, on New Year's Eve. Enjoy the day.
Bye.
I love that people just tuned in and heard that. I have no idea why I said it. We'll come back with the headlines in just a second. I've got Brian Regan tickets coming up. How about that?
That is
great.
A
is
good,
that?
Yeah, that's it. If you don't feel like going to Steve Cochran's New Year's Eve show.
Whoa, hey, whoa, hey, whoa. Eventbrite.com, is that what you meant to say?
Mm-hmm.
Eventbrite.com for New Year's Eve tickets for me as well. And we're going to give away some tickets to my New Year's Eve show tomorrow.
Woo! Mm-hmm. Don DeCasse will be here.
Back from his big gig in Ohio. 8:33, headlines are next.
I've always liked Fig Newtons. I'm trying to see if it's okay to eat them, and everything looked fine, the fat content, everything. I looked at the serving size, 2 cookies. Who the hell eats 2 cookies? I ate Fig Newtons by the sleeve. 2 sleeves is a serving size. I open them both and eat them like a tree chipper. Fig Newton shavings coming off the side.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Gooey, gooey, rich and chewy inside. Golden, flaky, tender, cakey outside. Wrap the inside and the outside. Is it good? Darn tootin' showing the big gooey.
That's Christmas Pete from when he used to record commercials. Nicely done, Pete. My pal Brian Regan. I say my pal. I've lost touch with him. I haven't talked to him in a long time, but he used to come on the show all the time. Anyway, we love Brian Regan. And a pair of tickets to see Brian Regan New Year's Eve at the Chicago Theater. Tickets are on sale right now at the Chicago Theater box office and Ticketmaster. And that number is available to you by way of something called Google, because I don't have it in front of me. But let's do this. Joe, we'll start with the seventh caller, and you can do this off the air. The seventh caller who can name any Brian Regan joke or bit, because I want people going who really want to go and maybe can't necessarily afford tickets. Okay? And if you need help with that, just tell me off the air. I've done his entire act for years and taken credit for it. Brian Regan, New Year's Eve at the Chicago Theater. Another plug, if you will, the most wonderful time of the year with WGN Radio. This Friday from 10 a.m. to noon, it's our presentation of It's a Wonderful Life.
Nice.
I don't even know if I'm in this.
Are you in it?
Well, did I get a part?
You got an invite for a table read, and none of us did.
Yeah.
So that means you're in it.
And I asked Bill Leff, who's the mastermind behind this. He said, well, you should have gotten an invite if you're a big player. And I'm like, well, I didn't. He's like, and then he kind of danced around like, no, we'll see. So I don't think that I've
you're
made
not
the
a
cut.
Big player.
You want to go to the table read for me?
Because I'm like, don't. Can I be your surrogate? Can like... Like, can I?
What if the understudy's better than, you know, like if Justin nails the
isn't it table read?
Just be in my ear. Be in my ear, and then I'll just be like, Steve doesn't like that part.
Cyrano de Steve's about to take a nap.
Right.
Table read's like at 1 o'clock on Wednesday?
1 to 3. Ugh.
That's so not happening.
No, and then they said it was just for timing and that you could just have somebody sit in.
Oh.
So maybe Art, the,
thanks, man.
I'll sit in.
Art, the computer guy, could sit in for you because he's
he
here.
Could do it in Farsi.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Anyway, it's going to be a great, great presentation. And for those of you that have enjoyed our presentations of radio plays in the past, or train wrecks, depending on your perspective of radio plays in the past, it's going to be a lot of fun. And it's Friday. Check out cast rehearsal videos as well. Those are actually quite funny. Find them all on the events page at WGNradio.com. It's sponsored by American Sale and by Shepherd's College. And one last plug and a comment from you. Rokan asked me to play Santa Friday at the First Rowell. I was one of apparently 30, 40 Santas. For the kids that are listening, Santa has helpers who dress up like Santa. They're not Santa. I'm not Santa.
Mm-hmm.
I just dressed up like Santa. I, you know, the one thing I took away from that is the spirit of Christmas and the fact that that suit is friggin' hot. We had a good time and a huge crowd. And congratulations to Ro and Anna and everybody on the show.
I don't know what a Santa looks like because I went to Macy's yesterday with Miles to go see the Santa, and we did not get in. 3 hour wait plus.
Are you kidding me? Did they manage the line at all?
Complete expletive show.
Can you make a reservation there? Because at ours at Northbrook, you can make a reservation.
I don't know if you. We showed up at, I would say, 10 o'clock in the morning. We thought, okay, we'll get
you in. You stayed in line till 1? No.
10 o'clock, they do it like you're at the Outback Steakhouse. They're like, well, we'll take your name and we'll text you when the thing's 2.5 hour wait.
But there was no line, so I don't know what was I don't think Santa was ever there. And then what happened was we went around downtown, and we had a fun morning, you know, we had breakfast, and we checked out other
stores. Did they ever call you back?
Came back. No, never called. We came back 2.5 hours later. It was a full-on mom brawl already. When we walked in, there were a bunch of moms with kids and strollers yelling at these employees because what happened is you get back up there, and they go, it's going to be another hour. And then you heard some rumblings, like there was some trouble in there, and something was up with Santa. And the place was just, it was like a free-for-all. You would have loved it. I was egging them on.
How does Macy's not know how to do
Macy's
Santa at Christmas time?
They blew it. I'm like, you know what I said, my parting shot to the Macy's lady? I said, didn't have this problem when it was in Marshall Fields.
You know what? You're right.
They did not. It was bad.
Miles, he wrote a letter to Santa, and he qualified in there that of the incident.
Yeah, he said, P.S. He wrote, here's what I want for Christmas. I said, P.S. I would have loved to have seen you, but I couldn't bear to wait any longer.
Well, there you go. One of Santa's helpers who was sleeping one off and couldn't come to work. Mm-hmm. But Macy's. When was Miracle on 34th Street, Dave? You were on that set. Was that 1935, 1940? I mean, Macy's has been doing Santa since the beginning of time.
And we've done it 2 years in a row, and you show up, and you stand in the line, and it takes about a half an hour. But I think that Santa, like, honestly, maybe tied one on Saturday night, and Sunday morning wasn't there on time.
But how do you not have a backup Santa?
It was like a bad Santa routine.
But you need a backup Santa. There should be a Santa waiting in the wings, where if Santa 1 doesn't show up, the understudy Santa.
We left, and there was a woman who was complaining. She was at the Velvet Rope, ready to go in. And my wife asked her, and she said she had been there. It was 1:30. She said she checked in at 9 a.m.
Oh, that's insane.
Can you imagine that? It's not insane. Yet even in the line from 9 to 1:30. So they had some sort
even if you have a tradition year after year after year of doing it, doesn't it ruin the tradition if you're that hostile and angry because you just gave up 4.5 hours?
I'm done with that story.
And no explanation.
Yeah. I see
no
the explanation. Lisa's May 2nd, 1947 on Miracle.
1947.
Yeah.
So 71 years later, they're still trying to figure it out.
Yep.
Wow. They're better not better at the Bennigans. The Bennigans has got it figured out.
And they've been closed for years. And they still do it better.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
I haven't had time to say hi to Jen DeSalvo today. Big Shot TV star, Big Shot radio star, Big Shot Jen DeSalvo.
Stop. That's Jen DeSalvo to
you. Big Shot.
Thanks for being on the show. I know you get a lot of offers.
Oh, I have so much fun being here.
Well, last time she was here, she was wearing a Mickey Mouse hoodie.
Yeah, now I'm wearing a Snuggie. I don't know if you noticed that one.
Who isn't? Stand by here because Dan Raskin's on the phone from Manny's. How many Manny's are there now? 200, 250, Dan?
No, we still only have the original one.
That's exactly
that's
right. You don't need to spread it thin unless it's a bagel. This is the last day of Hanukkah, and I heard you're sending some food over.
Yeah, you guys should be getting your food shortly, so just hold tight.
What are we looking for? Say what?
We have some latkes, some corned beef, some matzo ball soup.
Yeah? Personal fave from you?
Those are my favorite. I love the corned beef and the latkes, especially this time of year. That's got to be my favorite.
Dan, last night was, of course, the big night for Hanukkah. A lot of families getting together. Do you see the same kind of celebrations on the final day? Because I know that Hanukkah officially ends at sundown. So today, is there big celebrations for lunch? What happens on the final day of Hanukkah?
We have a lot of office parties. A lot of people from their offices calling in and ordering latkes for their office. But the majority of the stuff was last night, and it's always nice to have the last night of Hanukkah to end on a Sunday when all the families are home together.
Yeah, it was nice.
So this is, in other words, a slow time of year for you and a good time to call the show?
Yeah, we're super slow.
How's the family? Everybody good?
Everybody's great. We're all working hard. I don't give my dad any days off this time of year.
It's a good thing. Say hi to him for me.
Hey, Danny, you know, beyond Hanukkah, this is a big time for mayoral politics, and you saw all the elective officials like to make a stop at Manny's. Are you seeing more politicians coming through the door as an election gets closer?
Of course. We actually just had Axe Files film at the restaurant over the weekend, and it aired yesterday. And
yep.
I mean, they're constantly stopping at this time to meet and greet customers.
Of course they are. Manny's website.
Manny'sDeli.com.
All right, buddy. Get back to work. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, guys. Enjoy
Thanks,
your
Dan.
Food.
Thank you, buddy.
You know, Steve, whenever friends come in to visit from anywhere really in the world to Chicago, Manny's is one of the places they always want to go. Manny's, there's a list of things that you can do, but they always have to go to Manny's to eat.
Mayor was talking about it this weekend. That's Steve in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom next.
Connor Murphy from the left point closes in, fires, he scores! Connor Murphy with a blazing wrist shot from near the top of the left circle.
Let's go.
3, 2, 1.
Steve Cochran Show presents Breakfast with the Blackhawk, sponsored by MB Financial Bank. MB means business.
If we had only heard one more of these last night. If I had only danced one more time, Dave.
That's all it would have taken.
You're a dancer when the music goes on?
Sure.
You sway the hips?
You've never seen him?
Sure.
With his own version of the terrible towel?
Well, when I did the Soul Train dance line for all those years, right. I like to bring a little bit of that to the house.
Yeah.
Connor Murphy joins us. We also have a listener question in the MB Financial Bank, Breakfast of the Blackhawk. Thanks for being on.
Thanks for having me, guys.
And welcome back. I thought you looked great last night. You're skating around. You're having fun. Good to be back.
Yeah, it's nice to compete. It's hard sitting out so long watching the guys and just practicing, so it's finally nice to get out there.
What did you have, 4 shots last night?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, those shots or those stats are kind of, I don't know. I don't really think that they tell a tale of how someone plays, but it's obviously nice to have chances.
Well, that's my point, is getting 4 shots means you're in the middle of the action, and that's a good thing because we need more of that, not less. 1 for 8 in a power play. How frustrating was that?
Yeah, I don't know. It's I thought the guys actually had some good chances. Steve's had a lot of one tees up at the point of the power play, and Kaner was feeling it. He had a couple of nice goals and was controlling a lot of the play there. So it was definitely frustrating having a lot of them that we couldn't cash in on, especially in the third when we could have taken the lead. It was definitely a weird third period where we took a couple, had a really good 5-on-3 kill, and then having that the power play chances, and then unfortunately giving one up late. But if we could get a couple more in, it would have been nice.
Connor, Steve mentioned your shots, and you kind of downplayed it, but I think you had a couple of the first shots the Blackhawks had last night. And after waiting so long to get back out there, were you a little extra amped up tonight for your first game of the season or last night?
Oh yeah, for sure. You. I mean, sitting out for 30 games, you definitely get the adrenaline built up and the excitement to get out for first. You kind of the whole day, you're kind of thinking about how those first couple shifts are going to go and wondering if you're going to be rusty or not. But I just had a lot of energy, and I was jumping up trying to make a couple plays. So it was nice to kind of get some cobwebs out and get a couple shots early to get a feel for the game.
Getting in the middle of it, Mary Sandberg.
When you were watching these games and couldn't play, and they're on this little bit of a slide, are you thinking to yourself, like, oh, if I was on the ice right now, I could have stopped that, or I would have been helpful there?
You kind of just think about, you're just frustrated because you want to help in any sort of way. It doesn't really go through your mind thinking you're going to, like, all of a sudden make the team win. It's more about just wanting to go through all these situations with the team. And I think everything's a learning experience. And you kind of approach that that way. You can't get too down off losses. You kind of got to come in the next day and think about how you can learn and get better off of each mistake and loss. So when you're not a part of that on the ice or on the bench with the guys, you kind of feel like you can't go through those ups and downs experiences that the season kind of gives you. So that's hard, and now it's just nice to be there firsthand with the guys going through everything now. And help in any way you can, but definitely learn with the guys too.
Hey, Connor, when you're off the ice for as long as you were with a back injury, when you get back on the ice, explain the process. Are you still feeling the effects of that injury, and now it's just trying to work through it and get yourself back in playing shape? Or are you 100% back to the way you were and you never had the injury to begin with?
Yeah, every injury is a little different. It depends kind of whether it's – I think it depends whether it's surgeries or ligaments, muscles, bones. Mine was a little more bone, so – once it healed, it felt good. Like it's more about just taking the right steps. We have unbelievable trainers and doctors and specialists that you deal with, and I can just show up and work hard every day and just ask them, when can I do this, if I can do this, and they just give you the green light on each step. And it's more just, for me, it's more just about getting back in shape. But yeah, I don't feel any pain at all, luckily. And it's more, it was just about, yeah, but just about getting stronger.
We've been in that sweet practice facility, Dave, and as you know, the minute you walk in, you're immediately thrown to the ground and given a comforting massage.
Yes.
That's how good that place
is. It is. It is really good. And you get to stop off at the Dunkin' Donuts.
Exactly.
Too, right there. So
our trainers get mad at me every day because I'm there, like, probably 4 or 5 hours, and a lot of guys are there 2 or 3. when you got a hot tub and sauna, and
like, yeah, why go home?
How do you? Yeah, it's better than home. So right. I don't know why. Yeah.
Well, we found out about the injury the first day of training camp. Was it something that? I mean, that's going to be frustrating. You're working all off season to get yourself into top shape for the start of camp, and then you can't go. Was that the timing of it, or was it something you had been dealing with for a while?
No, yeah, it was definitely. It wasn't like one instant that I got hurt on. It was more a build up. It was kind of two or three weeks in a row. At the end of the summer, I was feeling kind of soreness that turned into some pain that I realized wasn't good pain. So we just thought we'd be safe, and I thought I could kind of push through it, but saw once we got tests done that it wasn't good enough to play on. So it was really frustrating, and I don't know, it's more frustrating knowing that that's something that you got to control and prevent yourself. And in the off season, you got to take care of your body and not overtrain, or make sure you're doing the smart workouts and exercises. And I don't have an answer for how I got hurt, but like what exactly it was. It's just happened, and definitely got to be smarter and make sure you're kind of taking care of your body and not letting yourself get injured.
You know, I was there last night, and as these guys will tell you, nobody's a bigger fan. And I'm hooting and hollering and living it up. And the second and third periods are really strong. And if not for the middle of this 3:15 and 3 stretch, you would just go, well, some nights you can't beat a guy like Carey Price last night. But it stands out, doesn't it? Because it's been such a miserable month.
Yeah, it's tough. You can tell the morale definitely hits you a little harder when you haven't had wins in a while. And I agree with you. It's a good point that it's not like we got really heavily outplayed or anything last night. We felt like we could have won that game, and it's definitely heightened when you have the pressure of needing to feeling so desperate to get a win and to have a bounce go our way, especially having so many in a row go the other way. So it's emotionally it's hard. I think when you're in it day in, day out, dealing with some losses, it gets some guys a bit mentally. But I think this year the team's actually been really strong, showing up the next day and having a positive spin on it, and being ready to compete the next day, because every game, every team's really good right now. And we go to Winnipeg here today and play there tomorrow, so you can't really feel sorry for yourself. You got to be able to show up and ready to win the next game.
Yeah, but by the way, you know, when you knew it wasn't the night, even though the second and third periods of Blackhawks owned it, Carey Price, in the middle of a snapshot and a collision, loses his stick, and a second later makes a great save on a slap shot. He was just unbelievable last night. I just wanted to go down and choke him.
There's definitely a few saves. He's such a calm goalie, too. It's crazy. He's always seems to be in position. And I mean, we're shooting a couple from the point where you could tell he couldn't see the pucks coming in, but they were just hitting him. And yeah, he definitely had a good night.
Yeah, and for young goalies listening, he controls rebounds as well as anybody. For a little guy, he's just all over it, so you're not getting a lot of second chances.
Yeah, he's patient, and when he's in the right position, it seems like pucks don't bounce off too hard. But yeah, goalie's a hard position, I feel for him.
So we can agree we respect Carey Price, but we hope he's really, really ill the next time the Blackhawks play him. Not something serious, you know, just the flu.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, we can't say that. We're not allowed.
Right,
to.
Exactly. Jeanette LaRue from Tinley Park asks the MB Financial Bank Blackhawk question of the day, and she's going to get an autographed Blackhawks puck courtesy of MB Financial Bank. WGNRadio.com/contest, where you can submit your question. What holiday tradition means the most to you and has been passed down in your own family? It's a good off the ice question.
That's a good question. Probably a couple of the Christmas ones. My family, every every Christmas Eve we watch Christmas Vacation.
Nice.
And that's just, I don't know, it's just a thing. You watch the movie every year. And now, I mean, I'm 25 now, I watch it every year in my life. We get to Christmas, and you pretty much just recite the whole movie, every line as it's coming up. So it's that's a good one. And I don't know, we had a couple other ones. We have Christmas morning. We always, for whatever reason, we always got these like mini little box cereals, and like it's not really anything special, but
no, but it's what you think of. It's cool.
We got older, and I don't need, we can start to eat healthier. I don't really eat some of those cereals anymore, but we still did it. It's just something that we even didn't even realize that it became like a ritual thing, but it's funny how you have those little things you do every year.
Well, Merry Christmas in advance.
Yeah, you too, guys.
Yeah, I'm glad you're back, man. This nightmare will end.
Thanks, yeah. Connor.
We don't know exactly when, but I'd like to say tomorrow night in Winnipeg.
Yeah, that's so good.
All right, all the best. Thanks, dude.
Thanks, Connor.
Thanks, guys.
Connor Murphy.
We used to beg to get those mini cereals, and my dad, they're more expensive, you know, than the regular box cereal.
What, so, per flake or something?
No, they're
a little bit more, right?
Yeah, they're more money, and we usually want to eat more than one of them also, so they don't, like, last. But it was the best treat if he ever got them for us.
Wait a minute, you're saying that the little boxes that kids take to school, or you snack on if you love cereal, they cost more than the big boxes?
Yeah.
No, per, as a
to buy the whole pack.
You get like the 8-pack.
They didn't used to sell them individually when we were
like
little.
The president. You're like, oh, you got to show your ID.
So what is this scanner thing they use that beeps?
But they had a...
I thought you were talking about little boxes more than big boxes. I don't eat cereal.
Do they still have them with the perforated side where you can open them up and pour them... Pour the milk into the box.
What is this milk you're speaking of?
So they do. Well, they do if you buy like that 8-pack. But now they make those individual like cups of cereal and stuff. So they've taken the fun out of it. But as a kid, we just had the like 8-packs or the 12-pack, and no one wanted to eat the one corn flakes. We only wanted like the Cocoa Puff ones.
Those have been banned in my house because far too often the corn flakes were left behind. So there's just stacks of. Of little corn flakes.
My dad would eventually suck it up and eat it.
Let me just say this, and just throw in my own disclaimer before I finish this statement. This has nothing to do with how much money I make or don't make. When I go into the grocery store, I can't tell you what's more expensive or not, because my goal is to get out of the grocery store. So I go to the aisle, I see it, I grab it, it's in the cart.
Let me ask you real quick. Are you a brand loyalist or a sale loyalist?
Oh, brand.
Yeah.
Oh. But it's not even... You know what? If the sale item is closer to my hand, I don't mind grocery shopping at all. I just want it to be quick.
How about you, Mary?
I go brand.
Brand.
Jen DeSalvo.
Well, you don't get like the generic luncheon meat.
Are you guys
like,
talking about brands?
Just ham.
When you go to the grocery store, are you brand loyalty or sale loyalty?
Oh gosh, that's a hard one. I remember studying in school that. Middle class people never have money because they buy brands, and upper class people buy generic because they realize it's the same product, just not with the fancy label.
Oh, nice.
Look at you with your economics lesson of the day.
And there's the generic argument, that's fine, but I mean the idea that
I'm guessing Justin's always got some rules.
No, there's always going to be a 2-for-1 sale on one of the rices, one of the pastas. So you would say, I'm going to go with a...
Well,
you know,
I only do Bounty paper towels. People know this here. White Bounty paper towels. Do not bring me anything else. Dave Bennett bought them for me for my wedding. Mm-hmm. They're very important to me.
What if you go with a brand that's on sale? Like if I go to Jewel and I want Coke Zero or Diet Ginger Ale, I drink either one. You know, if you buy one...
Diet Ginger Ale, the worst pop on the planet.
Oh, so you say.
Those are the only two pops I drink too.
Steve. Amen. High five.
Woohoo.
So one 6-pack... Mm-hmm. It costs you $195.
Yeah.
But if you buy five or more, they're 50 cents a piece. Right. Yeah. So, yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
All right. You've been listening to Grocery Talk. Beyonce did a private gig over the weekend. See this story? You can get Beyonce. You can pick her up if you like in the convenient family pack. Beyonce is available. She'll go to your party. Wouldn't you think Beyonce would turn down any money just to have time at home or whatever? Right?
This is her prime time to make money, right?
She's already got more money than Oprah.
Yeah, but you got to keep it going.
Oprah calls her and goes, hey, could you float me? Till payday? I'm trying to find exactly the details on the Beyonce concert. Here we go. How rich do you have to be? She was hired to perform at the wedding of a daughter of India's wealthiest man. And at the party, were also attending the wedding were Hillary Clinton and Priyanka Chopra and Nick Jonas.
I know. I found that crazy because why didn't they have her at their wedding? They just got married like 2 weeks ago in India.
Maybe they can't afford her.
That's possible.
So I need a rupee transfer. I don't know how much money she made, but help me find that. Big staff of mine. Give me how much Beyonce made at this wedding.
I did not. On my Instagrams, I did not see a figure thrown out, but I will dig deeper than my Instagram.
It's a lot plus a cow. She gets all that. So, but my point is, if you got a wedding coming up at the Holiday Inn, which is where my wedding reception was, and you know when I got married, if you got a wedding coming up and you need say last minute entertainment, all the DJs are booked. Hire yourself a Beyonce, right?
Yourself a Beyonce.
Get yourself Beyonce. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah,
I bet she hasn't played the Holiday Inn. Come on. 9:32. We're back with the headlines next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
I've got Christmas on my mind.
Well, it's been quite a run for Christmas, Pete. But he's got to get to the North Pole. Santa needs him. And who are we to get in the way?
That's right.
Hi, Christmas. Pete, how are you?
Hi, thank you for having me again.
Well, this is a special request for me that you're granting. I said, please, please. I know you've got a top 1,000 of your favorite Christmas songs.
Christmas Pete is a big success in my household.
Your household? In America.
We talk about it. Miles likes Pete, and then we're watching a bunch of Christmas movies every night. Like, you've gotten us in the spirit, Pete.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, it's my job.
I change my holiday lights outside every hour and a half because of you.
Let's all remember this time before the franchise gets bigger than, you know.
And you stop returning our calls. Right.
And Christmas Pete just becomes commercial.
Understandable.
Right.
All right, before we jump to the countdown, anything special you want to tell us about Christmas this week?
No.
Okay, number 10.
The best news for Pete is the holiday craft season is now over for his wife, so he's no longer loading and unloading all her cards.
But if you would like some of her fabulous cards, where would I go to get them?
LaFamiliaGreen.com. You can go on Etsy, just search her.
Yep.
What about Scratchy? Scratchy.com?
I've got the Scratch and
Etsy
Sniff.
Etsy Scratchy?
She does have Scratch and Sniff cards. I bought them. They're hot cocoa.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, that's perfect. I don't know what kind of lab you're running there at the house, but maybe that explains the eggplant. All right. Can we play a sample of each of these songs?
We can.
All right.
Wow.
We're going to do a sample of each of these songs. You thumb me whenever you're ready. And
is
by the way, that's
10?
Technical
top
talk.
Top 10 Christmas
songs? Yeah. Did you order them?
I ordered them, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Top 10. Number 10.
I don't care what the neighbors say, Christmas time is near. I don't care what anyone says, Christmas is full of cheer. All I know is Santa's sleigh is making its way to the USA. I wish it was Christmas today.
All right, so I noticed an attitude there, sort of a. It felt a little Clash to me. It's not
the
Clash.
That's the SNL song, right?
It is. It's Julian Casablancas of the Strokes.
But it was an SNL song that Horatio Sanz and Jimmy Fallon.
Chris Kattan
did.
Solid choice.
And a long time ago, in New York, 15 years ago.
December 9th, 2000.
Yes, right a week after
that. Val Kilmer is the musical
host.
We
saw it on SNL, and I was there. I was in New York in January, right after Christmas, and I was in a bar with Horatio Sanz, and we were drinking, and I said, we loved your my wife loved that song. He goes, let's call her. It's like a midnight, so we called Chicago an hour up, and he sang that song to her.
How cool is that?
That is a Christmas memory.
What a great Christmas.
Is that offset you being drunk as the husband in
New
York?
Well, imagine, I was like, oh, this is a big sweat.
It was the first of the Christmas miracles.
Yeah.
Number 9. Oh, yeah, I know this. That's great. Hit me.
They're coming back, though, Santa. I make my runs about the break of day. They call me back, though, Santa. I make my runs about the break of day.
From the album they gave you, I Gotta Return Some to IKEA Blues. That is
Clarence Carter.
Tremendous.
And Backdoor Santa, of course. I have to also mention the wonderful song by Run DMC, Christmas in Hollis.
Oh, it's tremendous.
Which samples Clarence Carter.
And Clarence Carter famous for what? The Stroke? No, that's Billy. What's Clarence Carter's big hit song?
Backdoor Santa?
No, it's not Backdoor Santa. I tell you, you move on to number eight, right, and I'll cover
all
me.
Right, number eight.
I'm stuffed. Who is it?
The Billy Idol?
Ramones. It's the Ramones.
Oh.
With Merry Christmas, I Don't Want to Fight Tonight. Written by Joey Ramone, who died, unfortunately, in 2001. And I think we have the news report from his death given by the great Art Norman.
Seriously?
Mm-hmm.
Checking more entertainment news. He is remembered as one of the founding fathers of punk rock. Singer Joey Ramone has died. The lead singer of this 1970s band, the Ramones, was hospitalized in March of this year with lymphoma. He passed away yesterday. The Ramones' best-known songs included I Want to Be Sedated and Rock and Roll High School. Joey Ramone was 49 years old.
How did he get Joey Ramone, but then he said the Ramones?
What is the Ramones?
By the way, Clarence Carter, Stroking and Patches.
Oh, Stroking.
Stroking and Patches. Mm-hmm. Patches, I tried to do my best. You don't remember that song? Oh, it's a classic. Number seven.
Don't give my brother a Steve Austin outfit. Don't give my sister a Carter toy. We don't want a jinx or a Monopoly money.
You know, sir? I don't know this. Give us some money.
Father Christmas by the Kinks.
The Kinks. Nice. Very strong. Very strong.
The only holiday song, I believe, covered by Smash Mouth and Warrant.
All right, give me six, and then we'll come back and do the top five after the break. Number six.
We might have to do top five tomorrow.
Have a Christmas night for 7 years now. Dreaming and a dagger still I'm blind. As long as I can hear you smiling, baby. You won't hear my ting ting. No lonely Christmas in my mind.
That's a great Prince. Christmas in a buttless leather suit. Is that the title of that one?
Another Lonely Christmas. And I love that. That's one of my favorite holiday lines. Every Christmas night for 7 years now, I drink banana daiquiris till I'm blind. Beautiful.
So good.
Sweet, sweet story. We'll come back as many as we can. If we have to drag Christmas Pete back in here tomorrow, we'll do it. Don't try and stop me.
By the time we got to Oslo.
Christmas Pete about his top 10 Christmas songs. This would be number five. Crank it up a little bit.
The beds were small.
That's Helen Reddy. Helen Reddy and I Am Rudolph, Hear Me Roar.
And it's indie rock royalty, Low.
I thought it was Karen Carpenter. She sounds like Karen Carpenter a little.
There's a little bit of that tonality. All right, four to go. And the list is building. If you can name the number one song on Christmas Pete's list, you spend the weekend at the North Pole with Santa and Christmas Pete. Number four.
Christmas presents around the world. Something mighty sweet to see. If only if I just had a present for everyone under one great big Christmas tree. Every boy that wants a brand new toy.
Critics have said from coast to coast, the great thing about Christmas Pete's list is they've never heard any of them.
Solomon Burke. Presents for Christmas. And in addition to his recording career, Solomon Burke ran funeral homes, owned two drugstores and a popcorn business, and later had the first Mountain Dew franchise in Philadelphia. I love this song only because it's the only Christmas song that wishes a Merry Christmas to DJs.
How about that? All right, let's build the suspense. Super Joe, let's take our last break, build the suspense, and come back, and we'll finish off this top 10 list.
Yeah.
Coming up in just a second, and live in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, that's where Steve will be. Christmas Pete is here. Are we at top three?
Top three.
top three. This is Christmas Pete's third favorite Christmas song. Hit it.
The wheels start turning. The torches start burning. And the whole wise men journey from the east.
Steve McMurray just got on my shoulders and took his shirt off.
I want a baby boy.
Pete, tell us.
Bring the people.
The band.
I love the band.
From their 1977 record, Islands, Christmas Must Be Tonight.
Did you see the last concert?
I did, yeah, The Last Waltz.
The last concert was The Last Waltz film, and the version of The Wait, unbelievable.
Yeah.
That song didn't awesome. Do anything for me.
Just what?
Number three.
Son of
oh, that
Carpenter.
Song. I thought you meant The Wait.
No.
This is number two. I believe, tell me if I'm right, I believe that's Three Tramps from Edinburgh. Is that right? No?
It is the Pogues.
Oh!
I'm surprised that's not number one. That's like your favorite song.
Yeah. Fairy Tale of New York.
Right.
That's a good
and
one.
Steve, you would like this song because it starts off, it was Christmas Eve in the drunk tank.
Oh, that's fantastic. Once again. Reminds me of my childhood. Yes.
It's a fabulous tune.
Yes. And, ladies and gentlemen, we've reached the top of the list. This is very important that you listen because you're going to want to run out and get all 10. Can we get all these on iTunes? Going to want to run out and get all 10. How about Spotify? Spotify got
together?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Here's Pete's number one pick for the greatest Christmas song ever.
To know you better.
So good.
This Christmas, and as we trim the tree, how much fun it's gonna be together. This Christmas, the fireside is blazing bright. We're caroling through the night.
Key change.
And this Christmas.
I salute you. No cliche pick by your television.
Donny Hathaway, This Christmas, the absolute best Christmas song written by a Chicago postal worker.
If I was worried that we were not soulmates, that's been that worry has been.
I think Pete's worried that you are soulmates.
No,
this is like a real live
soulmates.
Love actually happening right here in front
Pete
of us.
That is such a great song.
Christmas
well done
Pete's
by
my
you.
Favorite.
Well
Thank
done
you.
By you.
Thanks.
I have a little surprise for you before Christmas time. Oh. I don't want to say what it is, but it might be some of the greatest celebrity Christmas songs of all time.
Oh yeah.
A few of my favorites coming
Shatner.
Up. Shatner definitely on the list.
Yeah.
Definitely.
You can check
list.
Out the latest Molly and Pete Save Christmas at WGMRadio.com. Excellent episodes.
It's tremendous. Well done. How about a hand for Christmas?
Thank you, Pete. Everyone. And Merry Christmas.
His gigantic contribution to the holiday season this year.
Awesome.
Now, Pete McMurray's here, and Pete McMurray made some news last week because when everybody was talking about banning Baby It's Cold Outside, Pete did it shirtless and with a bottle of booze and really showing that you stood up for, you know, all that you're about at Christmas time.
I did. Yes, I did. It's the least I could do.
I got a conversation with somebody last night about this.
Boy.
1941, 1942, 1943, Baby It's Cold Outside. Isn't it dating at 1941, 1942, 1943? It's cold outside. Here's some booze. Wasn't that a date? Wasn't that a date then? I don't know. I wasn't around.
That's a great day.
Yeah,
it's a great date. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, Pete. How are you?
You want to say hi to Jane?
I love Jane.
Hi, Steve.
I love Jane. Jane's
hi,
great.
Hi, guys. Hi, Jane.
Justin.
Nice.
You?
Hi, Pete.
Hi, buddy.
Jane's great.
Right.
What are you guys
you.
Doing today?
Appreciate that.
Gary McCarthy is coming by.
Nice.
To arrest you?
Yeah, well, I hope not.
Pete will be arrested. I'll take over the show.
Say hello.
You know he wants to be mayor.
I know yes. he does.
Yeah.
How many people are in it now? 21?
21.
52.
21.
22.
22, you're in?
Yeah, 22.
Steve Cochran
just,
is
no, I didn't. Just while you were talking,
you
when the person jumped in.
All right. It's good to see you guys.
What else on the show
on Friday, right?
What's
yeah.
Friday?
Yeah.
Our holiday extravaganza
yeah,
that we're going to tell people need to tune in from 10 to noon to hear you in It's a Wonderful Life or whatever.
You're in the play.
I am.
Yes.
Yeah, you have the table read.
Don't you have the script?
On Wednesday from 1 to 3,
I'm doing the table
reading.
Oh, that's right. Designated table reader.
Designated surrogate for the
table. DTR.
Yeah.
All right, listen, I appreciate you listening. Thank you. Sorry we ran over time. Let's notify all the affiliates along the Pete McMurray
right.
Love Network
Thank
that
you.
We ran over. But you and Jane are next.
Yes.